Hello, everybody, and welcome to the special edition show. I'm the host, Tracy Mahan, and I am here today with Andrew Sim. He is a second timer on my show. We had a show back in November, I believe it was November 10th, talking about our energy fields and the connection to everything. And Andrew is somebody that I've known for a few years now. He's been a researcher and seeker of truth for over 20 years. A Reiki master, and actually has a number of different energy trainings, and just has a phenomenal mind that we are going to just dive into today. And he's a certified spirit guide and coach, and does shaman work, all kinds of different things. So Andrew, let's go ahead and bring you onto the show here, and let's get this ball rolling, because I know we ran out of time last time you were on, so yeah. Come on aboard.
All right. Well, good morning, Tracy, and good morning to everybody listening. Well, thank you for that introduction. Yeah, and Tracy, I know some people probably are new, and last time what we had done was I was going to do a little bit of an overview. You know, I'll use the term macrocosm, microcosm, from an energetic perspective, right?
Right.
You know, energy, we're all energy. And so not to get bogged down into physics or too much into metaphysics, but try to bring it down, you know, real world with some basis, right? So people have something to vibrate with, I guess. And so last time we did not get into really discussing the chakras at all. And so I wanted to focus on that today. But to begin, I wanted to level set or just kind of lay the foundation from my perspective, because the chakras, which are very personal, right? I'm focusing, just to let everybody know who's familiar with chakras, I'm going to talk about the, if you want to call it the personal chakras, or the chakras that are directly associated with our body. And then tangentially, I'm also going to talk a little bit too, which to me are very important, is the Earth Star Chakra and then the Soul Star Chakra. And then you have a whole host of transpersonal chakras that I'm not even going to go into, because there's so many different variations of those. Before I do that, I wanted to kind of step back for a second and just for your listeners, re-level set from my perspective what I'm seeing, you know, what we're going through, not only individually, you know, collectively, but globally, and, you know, our solar system, our galaxy. I think there's enough evidence now diving into this from satellites, from corroboration, from geological, anthropological, and archaeological evidence, tying that into quantum physics and a lot of the things that have been going on in that space, to validate some of the, you know, the Mayan calendars and some of the you know, native indigenous traditions about cycles. You find those in the Vedas from the Hindu perspective, et cetera, et cetera. And I think most people would agree that we're going through a massive global change. I think there are different perspectives on what's causing that, and so that's what I wanted to go into just a little bit here as an intro, that through my investigation, and obviously a lot of other people who are physicists and astrophysicists and scientists have been investigating this for the last 40 years, really, if not some further back, that we have enough what I can call concrete physical evidence, measurements, to prove that our solar system is going through what in galactic terms is called the galactic plane, the way our galaxy is structured. If you can think of it like a spinning plate, if I can use that briefly, and that's where the main energy is, right? If you look at the side of a plate, you know, it's only so wide. However, what most people don't realize is that our part of the arm of the galaxy that we are in kind of slides kind of like in a sine wave. We kind of dip below what's called the galactic plane, or the actual plate itself. If you look at the plate, the width of it, and we dip below, and then we come back into the plane, and then we go above. And we just have this continuous cycle happens, and everybody's pretty much in alignment around 26,000 years, which gets into the whole, if you're familiar with the precession of the equinoxes, et cetera, et cetera, and I'm not going to go into that at all. What I want to focus on is that people are aware, I think more and more people are aware of this physical transition that our solar system is going through, as we were we were below the galactic plane, and we are now transiting through the galactic plane, which basically what that means is, and I used this last time, if you want to flash a flashlight on the wall, and there's a normal propagation of the intensity, right, of the light beam against the wall. And let's say the diameter is, I'll just say, 12 inches. And, you know, obviously in the center, say 2 inches or 4 inches, you would have the most intense strength, right, the energy of that light. And you can think of our solar system as, you know, starting on point on the far left, which is in a dimmer area, right, less energy, and we're transiting right now through the center portion of that little example, which basically means we are getting from the galaxy, we're getting an ever-increasing amount of energy coming into our solar system. And this is definitely validated. You can go on NASA, ESA, the European Space Agency, different astronomy websites or peer-reviewed papers. We have more and more evidence proving this increase in galactic energy. It's not a metaphysical thing. If you look at observations off the top of my head, I know there are a number of them that have done with Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, and even some of the more internal planets, Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury, which are a little bit more impacted by our sun and the, you know, the whole CME and the cycles of the sun, and that's another whole thing to get into as well. And I'm not going to focus on the sun, and the sun has natural cycles as well, and that impacts us very much so. But I like to look at the outer planets because they are so far away from the sun, they do get some impact, but they're really impacted more by the galactic energy. So anyways, so I just want to set that as a background, and people can do their own investigation. There's definitely enough scientific evidence out there to prove from the 70s, right, from satellites and other observations we have, and corroborating back with astronomers from the 1700s and 1800s and what they observed at that time to now, that all of those outer planets have all changed. So the question would be, what would cause all of the planets to change, right? And again, just with the fundamental energy. So anyway, so I, just to level set for everybody to know, we are definitely globally and in the solar system is being, we are increasing the energy, vibration, whatever you want to call it, higher frequency. And that is having a natural effect, an impact on our bodies, the planetary bodies, and, of course, our bodies. So stepping down from the macrocosm, right, the bigger picture, coming down into the little picture, which most people are familiar with the term global warming. And I mentioned this last time, and I'm not going to go into it as much, but I just wanted to edify for people that it makes sense to me that we would have global planetary weather changes. I mean, not just human. I'm not trying to discount the amount of damage that we've done to the globe, our planet, from the pollution and et cetera, which is well documented. But also that energy, the increase in the galactic energy that's coming into our solar system is impacting. And if it's impacting Pluto and Neptune and Uranus, which are way far away from the sun, then we're definitely going to be impacted, and we're going to be impacted even a little bit more, making that slight transition here now, because our sun is linked through a chain of suns. If people are familiar with this, you know, from our sun to to Alcyon and the Pleiades, and then to Sirius, and then to the galactic central sun. And there's a whole scientific theory out there people are interested in. It's called the electric universe, and I've been periodically dabbling in that because it's very heavy in physics, and it's really a lot of it's above what I really understand. But I really enjoy this model that they're coming up with. It's gaining more and more credence in the science community, and I really feel in the next 20 or 50 years, depending on how long that takes, our physical model of the universe is changing today, and I think it's going to change into the electric universe model. It's very exciting because it kind of combines the whole gravity and what Einstein had theorized, but it actually fills in some of the gaps from Einstein's model of the universe. And again, I'm not going to go into all that, but
that's another show,
so
right?
That's another whole show. But what I want to get to, though, is as our solar system is getting more and more energy, and we have data to prove that, so our planet is being impacted by this energy, Mother Earth. On top of that, because we are closer to the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, we're going to be a little bit more impacted by changes in the sun than the outer planets are. And we are definitely seeing a change in our star. Our star is definitely changing its makeup. There have been, for the last, I'd say, 30 years or so, more and more scientific focus on the sun and the impact to the sun and how that impacts our cycles. And there's enough, again, scientific evidence to prove that what happens to our sun, how active it is versus how quiet it is, definitely impacts directly on a day-to-day basis, sometimes with an up to an a day or a two-day lag, conditions here on Earth. So just a level set for everybody, we are definitely going through a significant change. If we stick within that 26,000-year cycle, everybody, I think, can see that looking around and then bringing it into an individual perspective, I'm sure that people are feeling this as well within their bodies. I know that talking to a lot of people who are not into chakras or into energy or any of the things that I just mentioned, but just talking with family members or friends at work, you hear people say, oh, you know, the energies are off today, or, oh, I feel a little off. And more, that type of thought process, if you want to call it as such, is slowly seeping into what we all call the collective consciousness. And people are becoming more and more aware of how energy, right? I mean, we are energy, but how energy impacts us and how we impact each other. So having said that, I don't know, Tracy, I can pause there. And if you wanted to say anything, I wasn't going to go into, you know, the latest stuff, but I know there's been a lot of turmoil in the United States, obviously, about the election and a lot of these other things. And I think those are just, unfortunately, those are natural ramifications. I think we've talked about this, too, if people are familiar with resonance theory. About tuning, if you're interested in sound healing or anything along those lines, there is scientific proof about when you have a higher frequency, I'll just use a tuning fork as an example, a tuning fork, and you place that near some other tuning forks, they will naturally resonate or change their vibration to the where it's called coherence, right, where all of the frequencies then start to cohere or work synergistically. And what winds up happening is lower frequency tuning forks, not an example, would resonate at a higher frequency. And that's what we're seeing in the world today with all of the increase in energy. Our bodies are not just, bones and flesh. If we break it down into the elements, where we get into not to the acupuncture, but air, earth, water, and fire, all the different elements that make up our body, we are constantly vibrating. Our bodies are a constant network of transference of energies. Each of our cells at the individual level are vibrating. They are communicating to each other via, I think it's called biophotonic light. So you can think of, a little flashlight that's constantly going off and on. I mean, effectively, that's what's going on in each one of our cells. So getting back to our galaxy, it would make complete sense that as we go into a field where we're constantly being bombarded, we're not necessarily having a flashlight, right, turn off and on. We are going into an ever-increasing energetic field that's going to have a significant impact to us. Anyways, so having said that, I can dive into the chakras now, if you like, Tracy, or if you want to pause
there. Do that, and then I want to make sure we get through today because, like I said last time, we ran out of time. So let's keep going with the chakras, and then if there's time at the end, maybe we can dive more into the collective and what is our planet need from us right now. So
okay, certainly. Okay, so let's go through these. So one of the first things, though, one of the things I wanted to level set, if anybody's done their own research, I'm sure they're already aware that the chakras, given different traditions, Buddhist, Hindu, Western, there are various, if you want to call it methodologies or lines of reasoning, of how many chakras there are, how many chakra channels there are, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't want to get into all that, so I'm going to focus on what would be considered, I think, the more mainstream seven chakras. The personal chakras that are called the personal chakras, the ones that are directly associated with our physical bodies. So those are, and I think most people are familiar with this, so you have your root chakra, your sacral chakra, your solar plexus chakra. So those are what are called chakras 1, 2, and 3. Those are usually called the lower level chakras, and those are usually associated with what people would think in their minds, if you're in the metaphysical world, of the 3D, our third dimensional reality. That's where we primarily live and operate from when we're in this existence, right? As our soul embodies into a physical body and we're in a third dimensional reality, this field here on Earth, it's chakras 1, 2, and 3 that are very important to keep clean and clear and energized to make sure that our physical body is operating at its peak. Going up from there, you have your heart chakra, which if people are familiar with any type of metaphysical writings, that is related usually to what's called the fourth dimension, and that is the transition in certain circles where we're transitioning from a third dimensional world into a fourth dimensional world, which means from a world that is ego or individually our individual will perspective into a heart-based perspective. If anybody's heard that, just if people hear those terms, that's what they're talking about, especially when they talk about the age of Aquarius and what we're going through now. And then going up to our throat chakra, which is usually correlated to the fifth dimension, third eye chakra, which is the brow chakra, sixth dimension, and then the crown chakra, which is the very top of our head, which is usually considered to be part of the seventh dimension. So the three upper chakras, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, are usually called your higher level chakras because those are more associated with or more aligned with our soul. Our higher self, you probably heard that term, higher self, true self, super consciousness, all of those things usually mean pretty much the same thing. And so in a lot of the literature, part of our journey here, right, is to grow from, those first three chakras, tying into our heart chakra, and then, reaching upward, which then gets into a lot of, as Tracy mentioned, I've been diving a little bit more into shamanism and that study, and I'm sure people have heard of the world tree. If you're familiar with Kabbalah, you have the tree of life and the different energy centers associated with that, going from a first dimensional to a seventh dimensional type reality. And so before I dive into each individual chakra, I did want to briefly, just quickly talk about two additional chakras that are very important that do not usually get talked about that much because most people focus on the seven, and that's fine because those are directly tied to our bodies. But the Earth Star Chakra and the Soul Star Chakra. I want to talk about those two first before I dive into the personal ones. And just very quickly, so the Earth Star Chakra, some people call that the subpersonal chakra or the super root chakra or the foot chakra. This is a chakra that sits anywhere from 12 to 18 inches below your feet. And it is your connection, right, our etheric, right, our aura, our etheric connection, not our physical connection, but our etheric connection to Mother Earth. And so I find it very, very important to when I go through my, I have a daily routine that I go through about grounding, and I'm sure people have heard about grounding themselves. I think now more than ever, as we're going through ever-increasing levels of energy that are bombarding our solar system and our planet, the collective consciousness, and, of course, then ourselves, staying grounded and centered is very important. And so the Earth Star Chakra is where our aura, if people are familiar with that term, connects into Mother Earth. And so it's something, if you're familiar with doing any type of meditative practice about grounding yourself every day, I very much encourage people to do this. It could take 5 minutes or less once you get familiar with it, and you find some routine that works for you. I don't think any routine is better than another. It's what works best for you, works best for you. And so my recommendation last time was talking about breathing and how important breathing is for our well-being. And I think grounding and daily, I ground myself at least a couple times a day just to make sure that I stay not only connected with Mother Earth, because her frequency is rising, and since we are part of her planetary body, as her vibration increase, we need to increase with her. And, you know, not to get too tangential here, but I think that's part of what people are seeing, you know, in national politics and what we're seeing in some of the weather-related, you know, issues, you know, with the severe weather, et cetera, et cetera. I think those are all related, you know, Mother Earth. Our planet has its own chakras. It has its own, you know, north and south pole, right, where the energy flows through. You know, that's the geomagnetic sphere. People are familiar with that. And then the planetary body itself has chakras. And I mentioned this last time in my investigation about grid work and ley lines and dragon lines, that there is, from folklore, now coming more into validated scientific evidence that there are areas on this planet, not just the lines, but specific spots, which are usually associated with, you know, sacred or holy sites, where you have these natural vortices. Again, not to get too tangential, but if we have vortices, chakras, right, chakra energies of our body, and if people are familiar with acupuncture, right, the acupuncture is about, you know, putting needles in specific points, which has been proven over the last 4,000 years through the, you know, for the Chinese and from science. They actually have science now where they've actually monitored the electromagnetic signature not only in the skin but in the body itself as people are going through acupuncture treatments, that those specific points do elicit an energetic response in our bodies, and then it has a whole cascading effect of hormones and et cetera, et cetera. And so Mother Earth also has chakra points, and it has ley lines or dragon lines where these energies are, and there's a whole group or study, subscience, if you want to call it metaphysical science, about grid work and energy work, and there are people who travel around the world, if you want to call it, as global, you know, acupuncturists for Mother Earth. Anyway, so getting back to the Earth Star Chakra, just for everyone to understand, I think grounding is very, very important, especially now. I think it's important anytime, but now more than ever, because the grounding not only helps us stay in alignment with her frequency, right, resonance and coherence, what we were talking about before, but at the same time, that grounding allows us to to state energetically, consciously, that if we have any adverse energy coming into our field, et cetera, that it gets grounded into Mother Earth, right? Just like a lightning rod does, you know, buildings have lightning rods on them so that the lightning doesn't strike the building. It hits the lightning rod, goes down through the cable, and then grounds into Mother Earth. Same type of methodology. The lightning in this example would be negative energy, right? Negative energy from, yeah.
Sorry about that. We have a question in the chat room.
Sure.
And Helen is asking, so can traveling to these places help balance our chakras?
Yes and no. So I would use the example is that when we go to a sacred site, what we're going to is a higher frequency or a higher point of energy. So if your chakras are out of balance, you would be increasing energy. I'm not saying that you couldn't receive a nice alignment from going to a sacred place, and I think a lot of people would give you their impressions that they feel a lot better when they go there because obviously the energy is higher. My personal suggestion would be try to balance your chakras before you go, because I think you're going to have an even better or heightened experience of the energies, because you will already be in alignment physically on a personal level, and then that energy at that sacred site is just going to amplify that effect to make it even stronger. But that makes sense.
Yes, that does.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Back to the earth.
So anyways, just to illuminate for individuals that are listening, Earth Star Chakra, very important. It is where our aura grounds. So now getting back into that, let's move up the ladder here. So people are familiar with the term aura. I just want people to understand that the aura is a combination of all of our chakras. So our chakras actually surround our bodies, and I think people might be familiar with, there are different pictures on the internet or different, I know Barbara Brennan did a lot of stuff, Donna Eden, Cindy Dale. I mean, there's a lot of people that have done chakra books. Some of those individuals have been in the forefront, where if you look at your body, around your body, you have what's an aura. And there, we talked about this last time, there are a number of different products out in the market now, photography, Carilion photography, where they could take a picture of your aura. The only thing that I want to make people aware of is that your aura, again, is a combination of all of your chakras. So what you really want to do before you go have a picture, again, in my opinion, to make it worth your while from spending the money, is to try to make sure you're balancing your chakras as much as you can before you do that, to get the best picture or the most accurate picture of what the current state is. Again, the only other thing I would warn people, I shouldn't warn, but just make you aware that our auras change. You know, as our emotions change, if you get up in the morning and you're feeling good and you turn around and you stub your toe into your cabinet as you stumble out of bed because you're half asleep, and of course you immediately, you're going to have pain in your toe and you're going to be upset. If you did a picture before and a picture after, your aura would be significantly different, right, because of the energy and the emotions that you're going to be experiencing. So just another important point that if you're going to do the photography, you want to kind of ground yourself and try to become as calm as you can to get an accurate reading on those. If anyone's going to pursue that, that would just be my own advice. Anyways, so each of our chakras is tied to a body or a part of our aura, because the aura itself relates to all of the emanations from all of our chakras. So our root chakra is at the base of our spine. It's usually associated with the color red. It's also it is associated with the feelings of I am, or, you know, to have. It's very tied to survival, right? So if we're having fear, you know, we're constantly worried about money, we're constantly worried about our job, you know, am I going to get that promotion, am I going to change my career, I'm worried about my spouse, I'm worried about my parents or my best friend, or I'm worried about my children, et cetera, which are all natural human emotions, those types of feelings are usually associated with the root chakra. The root chakra and each of the chakras are associated with a particular element. So the earth chakra, again, or sorry, the root chakra, because it's directly tied to the earth star chakra and Mother Earth, the element for the root chakra is earth. In sacred geometry, that is the square. Each of the chakras are associated with a particular gland. So if people are familiar with the endocrine system, and this is where there's a lot of literature about the relationship between each of the chakras with the endocrine system. And so the root chakra is associated with the adrenal glands. Those are the two glands that sit on our kidneys. And that's your, you know, your traditional fight or flight, right? It's like, oh, I'm afraid of something. There's an animal going to come and get me, or someone's going to attack me. And the adrenaline kicks in, and you start to, you know, increase energy so that you can survive. So the root chakra is associated with the adrenal glands. Its shadow element, or one of the things that is associated with, is fear. Again, it's earth, and a lot of the chakras are also associated with food. So protein would be what's associated with the root chakra. What else did I wanted to say here? Oh, so it's associated with the base of the spine and the perineum. And so it's associated with the color red, and it's also associated with the sense smell. So that's hitting you with a lot of things at the same time. It's also associated with your legs, your feet, the bones, and your large intestines. And I'm just going to briefly hit on some of these things just from an observational, informational perspective, so that you can start to get more in tune with your own body. And some of these things that I'm mentioning, for example, you know, leg or foot. Traditionally, from a chakra perspective, if you were going to go to someone for a Reiki healing or chakra balancing, and you were complaining about, I've got this constant problem in my leg or my foot, outside of specific areas, obviously in our feet, which have different areas associated with different of the chakras and the different organs, they're probably going to say, let's take a look at your root chakra. Or if you're experiencing a lot of, again, anxiety or fear surrounding money, you know, being able to pay my bills, et cetera, or even worried about your health or the health of a loved one, your root chakra is going to feel that. And so that's going to be an area that you would want to focus on trying to clear and balance. So moving on from there, let's go to the sacral chakra. So the sacral chakra now sits up in between your belly button and your pubic area. And the sacral chakra is associated with the color orange. It's also associated with the element water. In sacred geometry, that is the icosahedron. It's associated with the gonads, or the sexual glands. So for women, that would be the ovaries, and for the men, that's the testes. It's also associated with the sense taste. So if you have urinary problems, it's associated with the kidneys. So if there are problems with the kidneys or your bladder or your lower back. So the sacral chakra, because where it sits, and it's associated with your emotions, or the shadow for this is called guilt. And there are a lot of self issues that can sit in the sacral chakra. So the sacral chakra, it would be associated with, your emotional identity, whereas your first chakra is your physical identity, your grounding, your survival. Your second chakra is your emotional identity, your sexuality, your desires. Again, it's with water and liquid, color orange. So this is another one that's very important. Some traditions will also say that the root, or that our spirit, sits in the sacral chakra. Just for your own edification, that hasn't really necessarily been my feeling, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert in this area. So a lot of importance on the sacral chakra area. So that would be number two. So that's right. We had our physical in the root, emotional in the second chakra. And then we go to the third chakra, which is the solar plexus chakra. This is associated with the element fire, the tetrahedron in sacred geometry. This is about our ego, right? This is the third dimensional world that we live in, the self, identity, me, I. It's associated with power and individual will. I said the color yellow. I apologize for the color yellow. It's also associated with the pancreas, and the adrenal glands as well, not just the root chakra, but also in the third chakra. Other body parts are our digestive system, our liver, our gallbladder, and our spleen. So some of the physical symptoms for this would be digestive problems, chronic fatigue, hypertension. If you have any problems, with your liver or your spleen, again, that's the whole digestive stomach area, that can point to a third chakra area that would probably want to be worked on. So between those first three, as I mentioned before, these are the three that we live in every single day. These three chakras are basically how we survive, right? Our physical identity, our emotional identity, and, of course, our ego, our self. So the first three chakras are very important. And the only other thing I wanted to mention very quickly is that I know when I started getting into investigating chakras, there's a lot of literature out there about, we got to open our heart chakra, which we do. I'm not going to deny that. And people talk about, we got to open up our third eye chakra, our crown chakra. Those are all important. I think sometimes, though, we tend to forget that instead of rushing to try to go up the chakra chain, the column, to those higher levels, right, which we all want to attain at some point, I absolutely agree. But I also fundamentally agree with the old architecture. You have to build a strong foundation, right? So a tall building needs to have a strong, solid base before, you can move upwards, right? I'm just using that as an example.
We have a question in the chat room again.
Oh, sure.
When you want to take a break for that.
Yeah, sure.
Helen's asking, when we talk about balancing and clearing to help our chakras, do you have just one type of thing, or are there specific things you would do depending on the chakra that you are balancing?
It's a very good question. And I would say, again, that it's up to each individual what works best for you, and I'll just step back for a second. So there are many different modalities or ways, right, that we can clean and clear, activate, awaken our chakras. Yoga is one I think that a lot of people are familiar with. Yoga, Kundalini yoga, there are thousands of years of history from India, the Vedas, in regards to certain yogic practices, right, different positions associated with different chakras. So yoga is a way that people balance and clear and strengthen their chakras. Breathing. So a lot of times in conjunction with yoga, you have breathing exercises. So there are specific breathing techniques that you can use for each of the chakras And again, usually those are go hand in hand with a yoga practice, but you can do those individually. I'm, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a big yoga person. And so that is not an area that I've explored very much. I have done some breathing work, and I have found that to be quite beneficial. To Helen's question, and I think it's a very appropriate question, I found certain breathing exercises work better for me, in the sense of better meaning I feel that immediate response, right? If I'm trying to clear a certain area or balance a certain chakra, I've found for me that a couple of the chakras work better when I do certain breathing exercises than some of my others. And so I kind of have a little bit of a hodgepodge, in different techniques that I use for balancing my own chakras. Outside of that, there are different modalities. Reiki is one that people use. That's energy, right? So that's using energy, which is consciousness, intention. It's someone else's intention to balance your chakras. Meditation. There are a lot of meditative practices. You can do meditation via visualization, whether it's watching something on your computer or your TV. There are different visual ways of aligning your consciousness or your intention of wanting to clear or align or balance a particular chakra. You can do, again, meditation visualization. That's, for me, that works primarily. I meditate and visualize when I'm in meditation. I actually go into each of my chakras and do an assessment and try to balance those. And let me just tell you, it took me many years to the point where now I feel comfortable knowing as I go in and go through my chakras that I can sense, I can use that term, I can sense when something is a little off. I may not necessarily know what's off, but I can get a sense of what is off, and then I kind of work on that chakra. Chanting, there are a lot of CDs, and you can get these on the internet very free. There's a lot of chanting, different sounds that are associated with each of the chakras. So there are people who just chant certain particular sounds. Again, this comes from the Vedas and the Hindu in regards to that. There are different... I'll wrap this up. There are different sound modalities as well. There are people who do sound tuning with tuning forks. I can tell you from personal experience that I have gone to a couple practitioners that did sound healing. Some people do it with bowls. I have never done bowls, but there are some people that find that to be fantastic. Others with tuning forks. And I have had some very good experiences with individuals with tuning forks. Which just gets back to sound, right? So whether it's chanting a particular sound, right, ourselves, you know, aligning our consciousness with that sound for that particular chakra, or, you know, just the tuning fork itself. And there, again, there are a lot of, and there's free ones out there, too, on the internet, CDs and different practitioners that specialize in not only tuning forks but embedding certain frequencies, again, getting back to energy frequencies, vibrations and sounds into different CDs that you can just put your headphones on and lay down and relax for 30 minutes or an hour, and they'll do a tuning, right, through the sounds, through your ears. It'll naturally go through and, you know, I shouldn't say clean, but, you know, address each of your chakras so that they are, clear and aligned and balanced. So there are many different modalities. And then the last one, I'll just say this very quickly, too, for people who are into crystals. I've had some very good experiences with crystals. And so there's a lot of information, again, on the internet. You can look it up. I thoroughly encourage people, again, to go within, right? When you're looking for a particular chakra, if you go to different websites, you'll find some commonality and some differences. I would encourage you, if you're going to say, I want to go get a stone for my root chakra, if you go to some some store and you go in and have an idea of at least, I'd say, three or four different ones that you are interested in and see how they resonate with you, you know, pick them up or visually. I'm a visual person. I've never had to pick up a stone. I can look at something and I know it immediately what is going to be good for me. That's just me. My sister, as a matter of fact, she does it all by sense. She'll go and pick something up, and that's how her body tells her what's right for her. So I encourage people to investigate that and find what works best for you, because one thing I learned when I first got into this many years ago, I was very, very Western, very math, very science-oriented, so I wanted, you know, A plus B equals C, and found out very quickly that when it comes to energy, there are some general structures and frameworks, but when it comes at the individual level, again, you want to have a good foundation, but in the end, what works best for you works best for you. Anyways, so wrapping up that question.
So we do have a caller with a question. Are you up for taking callers?
Sure.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Sure.
Okay, area code 561, you're live.
Hello, my name's Michelle. When do you see a job coming?
Oh, we're not doing readings on this show, hon. This is just talking about our auras and energy and chakra system.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, go ahead. Let's get back on track with that.
Oh, okay, no worries. Okay, so I would encourage people to definitely start, if you can. You don't have to do 60 minutes of meditation or anything else. Just from the last show, I talked about proper breathing exercises, I think, are critical, important physiological and biological benefits to our body, grounding ourselves every day. You know, this can be done in, well, with breathing and everything else. Probably you want to set aside probably 10 to 15 minutes and you're done as a good starting point, without getting overwhelmed into, I have to do 60 minutes, you know, of meditating to get the benefit. You don't. You can just spend 5 to 15 minutes a day doing some basic, what I call basic body maintenance, energy body maintenance, and you will receive benefits from that. And so I encourage again, I'm going to go in through the other upper chakras here, but I want to encourage people to really focus on, you know, that earth star chakra connection to Mother Earth, our root chakra, our sacral chakra, and our solar plexus chakra, because those three primarily, I mean, all of the chakras relate to different functions in our body. They're all related to our body. But those are the chakras that we've been living in, we want to go into the metaphysical perspective, as a human, you know, embodiment, right? So definitely want to make sure we have a clean, clear, and strong foundation to build on. And I think that you'll find that if you spend the time in those three chakras and doing the work and then move up, not saying you would ignore the other ones, but really focus on those three, I think you'll find that going to the higher chakras that some people spend years on and they get very frustrated, it's because they didn't spend any time really cleaning and clearing and aligning their lower chakras. I think that's very important. So that's one thing I just wanted to share with everybody. You know, because usually when you talk to people, it's all about, I want to open up my third eye chakra and blah, 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 blah.
Really?
And it's like, well, wait a minute. Let's start at the bottom, right? Let's start at the beginning before we go there. Yeah,
so we
exactly.
have about 11 minutes left. Is that enough time for you to get those upper chakras in?
Yeah, I can go through them at a very high level for everybody very quickly. So then we have the heart chakra, which is usually tied to the fourth dimension. That's the element there is air, the octahedron. That is associated with our social identity, usually associated with love, right? So living from our heart. So that is associated, obviously, with our heart. It's that chakra complex is aligned with our lungs for breathing, our heart, our circulatory system, right? Our arms and our hands. The color for the heart chakra is green. Yeah, I'll just Oh, and then also for the gland, oh, sorry, I kind of deviated. That is to the thymus gland, and that's a very important gland because that is in charge of our immune system. So we want to make sure our thymus is operating appropriately for our immune, for our health. So then going up to our fifth chakra, that's the throat chakra. Associated color is blue. It is associated with the element ether. So now, you know, when we have the traditional elements, right, most people think of four elements, right, earth, water, fire, and air. But there's really a fifth element, which is called ether or spirit. Some people, whatever different traditions call it something different. I like the term ether. So the upper chakras, 5, 6, and 7, are all associated with ether. This has to do with vibration, communication. This is our creative identity. So the fifth chakra is very related to the second chakra. So we have our emotional, individual emotional identity, and creativity is in our second chakra. And then our higher level creativity and identity is in our fifth chakra. It's associated with communication. So this covers your throat, your ears, your mouth, your shoulders, and your neck. Some of the things that are associated, potential identifying problems, is sore throat, thyroid, hearing issues, neck and shoulder pain, vertigo, those types of things would be related to the fifth chakra. So just for edification for people. Sixth chakra now, our third eye chakra. Again, this is to the element ether. The color is indigo. It relates to the pituitary gland. This is related to our intuition, our imagination, what's called the archetypal identity. This is, again, what we were talking about before. People like to, this is where a lot of your intuitive skills and abilities would receive its boost from, or its primary input. It's also associated physically with our eyes, our skull, and to a certain extent our ears. So if you have any vision problems, headaches, nightmares, vertigo, your third eye chakra would be an area to investigate. And then rounding it out with the crown chakra, which is at the very top of our head. Again, element is ether. The color associated with this is primarily violet. Some traditions see this as white. So either one of those, I think, works. For me, I usually think of violet. This is considered our universal identity, right? This is our connection, our understanding to a greater consciousness than our own individual consciousness. This is where the soul star chakra connects into our physical body. And so this is where higher enlightenment, you know, our connection to God, source, you know, infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is going to be processed through. And this is associated with our central nervous system, our cerebral cortex, and some of the issues that here might be depression, alienation, confusion, et cetera, et cetera. And so just going back for a second, so I mentioned that the fifth chakra has a very strong tie to the second chakra. They're both into creation, creativity, and expression. So you have your individual on your second chakra and more of the divine in the fifth chakra. The sixth chakra would be associated with I'm sorry, I said that backwards. The fifth chakra would be associated with the third chakra. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes here and I read those wrong. So our identity from the fifth chakra and expression would, and our divine will would be tied to our third chakra. Our sixth chakra, right, creativity and intuition would be tied to our second chakra, which is individual creativity. And then our seventh chakra is tied to our first chakra. So, and then, of course, our heart chakra, which sits in the middle, is the central hub, right? This is what processes all of that information and is the connection point above and below. And that's why a lot of traditions focus a lot on the heart chakra, because it sits at that hub. Our lower self, right, if you've heard that term, our lower self is tied to the first three chakras. Our middle self, if you want to call it that, is at the fourth chakra, and then our higher self is the fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra. If people are familiar with some of those terms, I didn't have time to go into that, but that's kind of how that gets related. And so, and then, of course, our soul star chakra, which is our connection then to our soul, our eternal soul, and to divine guidance and will. And I'll stop there because I could keep talking, but I know we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah. So in that 5 minutes, I mean, you rapidly covered the rest of the chakra stuff.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. But in the 5 minutes that we have, if we could just jump into that collective energy that we are all a part of. And I know that as a collective, we can make some powerful shifts globally for our planet. So what do you see when you're looking at the things that you've studied and researched? What is it that we could do with this connection as an individual?
Well, that's a good question. I would say first and foremost, each individual can make a significant impact on the planet. And obviously getting involved with any kind of, volunteer or getting involved in certain groups is also very important. But just on an individual perspective, I think personally, since we all are connected, and this is an overused example, but I think it's actually very appropriate that if you spend the time to clear and cleanse yourself, right, from whatever issues or past life issues — we didn't get into past lives, karma, whatever, but just even not even including that, let's just say we want to feel good, right? We want to be vital. We want to have whole health. We want to be happy, and we want to be healthy. And we don't want to think about anything else. I think that in and of itself already changes the vibration, because being healthy and happy automatically changes our entire aura's energy field, right? Someone who is happy and healthy has a different aura. And that aura, so every day, you as an individual having a clean, clear, and balanced aura will automatically — and this gets into resonance, what we talked about before — as each individual person does their own, whatever they need to do for themselves, right? We got to think about ourselves first. I'm a big a proponent of that. You know, we got to take care of ourselves first. And I think taking care of ourselves is taking care of the planet from a certain perspective. Because if everybody did their own clearing, their own cleansing, their own balancing, trying to get themselves into a healthy, right, let's talk physically healthy position, I think that in itself is going to make people happier. You know what I mean? Some of the fears or the worries or the concerns you might have are going to be lessened. I think it's natural when we are not in pain or we're not in any kind of discomfort that we can approach our day from a better perspective. So I think just being healthier in and of itself helps the planet. Being happier with ourselves, and then, of course, how that relates to all of our relationships, all of the emotional connections we have to our spouses, to our children, to our families, to our friends, to our businesses, our communities. You start, using that phrase, the 1,000 points of light. I think it was George Bush who said that. But I like the idea of, if you're sitting in a let's say you're sitting in a coliseum or an auditorium, and you have five people that light up, right? So they have flashlights and they light themselves up. Well, then you can see more people around them. and then another five people turn on their flashlights, et cetera, et cetera. It's a little overused example, but I think it's very appropriate. I think sometimes people think, oh, I've got to volunteer 20 hours a week, or I'm not a good person, or, you know, I have to do this, or you know, I'm not helping the planet. And my advice is help yourself first, right? Make yourself healthy and happy. That in and of itself will change the vibration of the planet.
Wow.
No
that
doubt.
Is an awesome answer.
No doubt.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's an awesome answer.
Yeah.
And you made it very clear how that would work, and I love that. So let's all go out there and work on ourselves for the global good. Okay.
Yep.
We're down to the last couple of seconds. Thank you, Andrew, for coming on again.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll find more reasons to bring you back. So I'm just going to put it out there. I look forward to our next show. And thank you, everyone, for coming. All right. Bye-bye.